Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. Today, our pastor begins a three-part teaching series titled, Recovering from Shattered Faith. We trust that this teaching will bring strength, encouragement, and healing in your life. Now, here's Pastor Billy with Recovering from Shattered Faith, Part 1.
I want to talk to you today about recovering from shattered faith. Recovering from shattered faith. It's very important that we understand that as we seek God for His perfect will, Romans talks about His good, His acceptable, and His perfect will. That revealed will of God that we read about in the Scriptures. It's God's very plain manual to what He wants for each of us, that we'd be in health, that we'd prosper, even as our soul prospers. But there are times whenever we're seeking Him intensely. We're standing in the miracle line, and we are praying and believing, pushing, trusting, and we're doing everything that we know how to do at the moment. And in some way, shape, or form, as we're standing in that particular place, we do not get the desired result that we're after. In the window of time that we want it, the way that it happens to be manifesting, the way it's taking place, there's some form of an adjustment that needs to be made on our part. We change, God don't. He said, I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. But you and I are to be changing, flexing, flowing, morphing into God's plan, the way He does it, the timing that He does it in, the people that He wants to use to bless you and increase you. All of these are factors that really determine whether your faith remains strong in pursuit or whether your faith begins to show signs of wear and tear, where it begins to show signs of cracking under the pressure of no manifestation, limited manifestation over a long period of time. Many battles face us in a lifetime. They're not all the same length. They're not all the same depth. They don't carry the same punch. And we must realize that the greater one does live on us. The greater one does intend on you getting the victory. But we can't have a cookie-cutter strategy. We can't have a strategy that becomes so common to the enemy and so predictable to the enemy, lukewarm to ourselves that it no longer brings the punch and creates the flow that we want it to. So in the process of pursuing healing, in the process of pursuing financial increase, in the process of pursuing the job, the ministry, the marriage that you'd like to have, standing on promise, standing on prophecy, we know sometimes, like I said, not all the time, but there are times where there is a battle, there is a war, there is resistance, there is hindrance. We don't always know how that comes about and why that comes about. And then sometimes we have the end result that just doesn't turn out the way we wanted it to and expected it to. The end result sometimes isn't just the fact that there is a divorce or there is a death or there is a prolonged years of struggle in the marriage. Not exactly what we signed up for. But sometimes not only do we not get the desired result, but in the process, our faith gets damaged. Let me make something so clear to you today on this particular teaching, and that is when faith gets shattered, when faith gets damaged, it's like the bridge to everywhere is being blown up. It's like the nexus, the segue, that connection to the promise, that connection to the desired manifestation, that connection to finding out that God had a different plan, a bigger picture than what you had even imagined. That process, that bridge, that faith connection is vital to maintaining. And I'm just so anxious to be able to bring you this particular teaching. Because as I pray for people all over the world, for miracles and for healing and for deliverance, I see so many, thank you, Lord, for your grace and people receiving instantly, and yes, some over time, but I see so many people who came in with a condition, leave with a condition, and also they leave with fractured faith. Oh, we don't want that. We don't want your faith to break you. We don't want your faith to crack. We want your faith to remain strong, getting stronger, putting pressure on the yoke that will eventually break. Not you, but the yoke. There's a scripture in this Bible in Luke 22, verse 31, and it's a story of where Jesus was interacting with the Apostle Peter. And here's what he said to the Apostle Peter as they had this conversation. He said, Peter, I am praying for you. I'm praying that the devil would not sift you like wheat. And I'm praying that your faith fail not. I think this is such a remarkable, remarkable scripture. He says to Peter, I am praying for you that you would not be sifted like wheat. And that your faith would not fail. It would not fracture. It would not shatter. Evidently, there was something that Jesus saw in Peter's person that if it wasn't dealt with, if it wasn't corrected, that it could have a negative input on God's plan for his life. He saw that. He saw that fracture or that fault. You know, a fault in a person is a weakness. It's a place where the enemy's likely to strike. The San Andreas Fault in California is a weakness in the structure of the Earth's crust and core. It's most likely where an earthquake is likely to happen, where there's a fault. And that's why Jesus said to Peter, I'm praying for you that you'd be strengthened, that your faith not fail, and that you would not be sifted like wheat. I see this flaw in your person. I see this fracture, this fault, and I'm praying that this gets fixed so you and your faith doesn't fail. Well, if it's Jesus, why pray for me? Why not just fix it? Why not just tell me what it is? Why not just show me what it is? And according to Romans 5:4, there are some times whenever, yes, God can say something to you. There are some times whenever God can show something to you. But there are times whenever we're just not ready to receive anything that God has to say or show. So he lets us go by way of the experience. And he was just saying to Peter, you're going to go through something, but I'm praying for you. And my prayers work, and we will make this. What was the issue here was that Peter was a feeling-based individual, not a word or faith-based individual. Everything with Peter was based on what he saw and what he felt, at least Peter at the time. We all have issues. We all have issues. I mean, we all have feet of clay. But, you know, we must respond to the Holy Spirit whenever he is trying to point out, locate, identify, you know, make known an issue that could be perilous to us, dangerous to us, stop a flow, you know, abort a prophecy, hold back blessing. Man, I don't know about you. I want everything God has. I want to have it. I want to see it. I want to walk in it. I want to pass it on. But there could be some things, a blind spot, that I don't see at the moment. There could be an area that I'm not even open to correction or any further information. So God has to work with each of us to bring us to a place where we want to hear it. We want to see it. We want to yield to it. Peter's issue was revealed whenever he confessed to Jesus. He confessed to Jesus, he said, you know, Lord, all of these may betray you, deny you, and forsake you, but I will never deny you or betray you or forsake you. So within that word that Peter spoke to Jesus was revealed that he was basing his strength in the Lord, his love for the Lord, his dedication to the service of the Lord. It was all based on emotion and feeling. Now, your feelings, there's times whenever your feelings and your emotions will get it right. There are times. But God's written word will always get it right. With your feelings, it's going to be a hit and miss proposition. With the Word of God, it's going to be an always proposition. Which one do you want? Do you want hit and miss your whole life over whether you're loved or somebody loves or accepts you? Do you want hit and miss over whether you're going to be healed this time and the next time, whether you're going to get the job this time or the next time? Or do you want there to be an always, a sure foundation, something that you can stand on, anchor into, lock into? That's where we have to make sure that our faith is based on these precious promises and not based on just what we see or how we feel. Now, Peter, we know that Peter's faith failed. We do know that. We do know that he fractured faith. We do know that it was shattered. We know that. I mean, he denied Jesus not once and not twice, but three times. I mean, God wanted Peter to get a front row seat of his shallowness, of his connected to feeling and emotion. That's why it wasn't just a one-time denial and not a two-time denial. You know the saying we have, three strikes and you're out. I mean, this is Peter. Three times, I don't know him. I don't know him. I do not know him. Now, not only did that he deny him and he fail in that strength of standing with him, but he didn't even stick with Jesus through the whole crucifixion. There was only one standing at the cross in lieu of all of the went on. That was the Apostle John. They all forsook him, the Bible says. But the big thing was Peter quit the team. He quit the ministry. He quit being one of the followers and he went back to fishing. I said he went back to fishing. You know, and here it is. Real faith, I mean, when faith gets shattered, it's usually because something that you expected to turn out a certain way did not turn out that way. And it just seems like God didn't hear you. God didn't understand your situation. It seems like. And so often we judge a lot of what we do by what it seems like. It seemed like Jesus was dead. It seemed like the devil won. But we know that's not true. It seemed like that Lazarus would never rise again after 4 days. It seemed like blind Bartimaeus, who was born blind, would never see. There's so many things in the scripture. It seemed like Moses and the Israelites were trapped at the Red Sea. Sure seemed like they were trapped. Sure seemed that way. You've got to be careful that you don't base everything on what it seems like. God's grace, God's miracle-working power, and your faith can make everything you're facing subject to change. There's sometimes, though, where it just doesn't happen the way you thought, when you thought. There's sometimes where something takes place that's beyond your understanding at the moment. You know, Jesus gets buried. He's dead, seemingly for good. Peter goes back to fishing. But after the third day, on the first day of that resurrection, after rising up in the garden tomb, speaking to Mary, Jesus took a walk out by the sea to find out what his fellow disciples were doing in lieu of his death and burial. Well, John was the first to identify him from out at sea. Fishing, catching nothing at the moment. John looked and he said, "Oh my, I believe that's the Lord standing on the shore." The moment that he said that, Peter didn't hesitate. He took off his clothes, his fisherman's coat. He dove in the water and he began to swim to Jesus. Now, there were 10 other people in that boat, because Judas had already died hanging from a tree. So the other 10 in the boat, they saw Peter dive in there and start swimming towards Jesus. Well, they just began to row the boat in gracefully in the same direction that Peter was going, because they were all excited to see the Lord. 10 men rowing, one man doing the breaststroke, the butterfly. There's he racing to get to the Lord. Why did Peter jump in there? Was it impetuousness? Was it he just was there again acting out of emotion? Or did Peter have a need that the others didn't have? Peter's faith had been shattered. Peter's trust had been shattered. The desired result that Peter wanted had not happened. And to see someone standing alive that was dead, and to defy the odds of death in a different time frame, please hear me, in a different time frame than Peter expected, was almost too much to encompass. And he just thought, I've got to hurry and get to him. So as he's swimming in there, and he is, going 90 miles an hour to get to Jesus. You see, when something doesn't turn out the way you think, whether it's with your money, your marriage, your healing, your business, sometimes, at that moment, you're not really ready to hear deep truth. Here's why that didn't work. Here's why you didn't get the job. Here's why you didn't get the money. Sometimes it's just the wrong time. And, truth doesn't always heal. Truth can also kill. If truth isn't wrapped in love, if truth isn't wrapped in the right time, it can really add more damage. It can add more salt to the wound, so to speak. It has to be wrapped in the love of God. It has to be wrapped in the timing of God. That's what makes truth effective. That's what makes truth set people free. And in this moment, Peter wasn't ready for that, but he was ready to be in the presence. If you've been drifting out at sea in a raft for several weeks, not knowing whether you were going to be shark bait, shark food, dried up by the sun, lost at sea forever, never to be seen again, dehydrated. You're out there drifting at sea, and all of a sudden you catch a super wave or an undercurrent, wherever. And you wake up one morning, and there you are. You're close to land. The first thing that you want to experience isn't, how did you get out at sea? What went wrong? How did you get left drifting out there? Let me tell you the first thing you want to experience, your feet touching solid ground. There's nothing like when you've been in water over your head for a long time. As you come to shore, when your feet touch that sandy bottom, there's something about terra firma after you've been in the midst of water. Water in the Bible is always a sign of what? Instability. And here, this is just where Peter was. He wasn't stable on the inside. He needed presence. He needed to feel accepted. He needed to feel the love of God. He needed to feel the presence of God. He swam to get into the presence of God, the presence of the Lord himself. Will he love me? Will he reject me? Will he accept me? What will he say knowing that I denied him? What will he say knowing that I quit the team? Oh my, I've got to talk to him. I've got to get near him. I want to say something here in this moment that I can't say enough. I can't say this enough. When you have been damaged on the inside and you're really questioning your prayers, you're questioning your faith, and it happens. Whenever you're not sure that if everything you're doing is right, whenever you're following things to the Q, you're dotting every I, crossing every T, you're still not seeing the desired result, and it's almost like there's a free fall taking place on the inside of you. I want to say the best thing you can do isn't to lean to your own understanding, isn't to begin to point the finger and blame yourself and blame somebody else. The best thing you can do for shattered faith, for fractured faith, when things aren't going right and you seem to be doing everything as right as you know, the best thing you can do is simply take the pressure off of you and get into the presence of the Lord. Get into His presence. Get into His presence. I mean, where there is not just, you know, a kind of sort of maybe atmosphere, but I mean where the anointing, where God has been stirred up, where He is working through a particular congregation, a particular person, a particular song, a particular. And what I've found is that there's one of two ways that this presence of the Lord is created. Number one, it's one that you simply walk into. You find the church where they're singing and worshiping. You find the prayer group. You find somewhere where the name of Jesus is being exalted. I mean somewhere where they're just worshiping Him, serving Him. You go in and you find that particular service. If it's on the internet, you do it. You know, if you have to download it, you do it. If you have to drive and walk into a building, and you do it. You got to get into a presence where you're stabilized, where you realize in spite of whatever you're going through, even if you contributed to your demise, it could be that you've yielded to a poor diet, you've yielded to drugs, you've yielded to negative conversation, you've been so angry at God, you've given up on the church, you've questioned this and you've questioned that, and sometimes you really don't even know if there's a way back from all of that. And then you have the devil chiming in on everything that you look. He says, look at you. You're so negative. Where's your God now? And all of the spirit world begins to laugh and to mock and to say, where's your champion? Send him out to me, as Goliath said. And you feel removed. And the Bible says of Peter, he followed the Lord from afar. He was so ashamed. There's nothing that can devastate a person more than shame. Guilt works from the inside out, but shame works from the outside in. When you have both guilt inside and shame outside, it's toxic. It's deadly. It's usually a fatal blow that most do not recover from. They quit that church. They move away. They give every rhyme and reason why you never see them again. Because the pain of the shame is too much. Oh, I want to tell you something. There would be many, many today that if they could just reach out and get somewhere. I mean, whatever. I remember years ago, I was holding a meeting in Fort Worth, Texas at the Eagle Mountain Church. A lady flew in, bought a ticket, flew in from Chile. She was wearing a neck brace at the time, in chronic pain, couldn't get out of pain. And she flew in from Chile, South America, to be in a meeting in Fort Worth, Texas. I just knew when I heard that sacrifice, when I knew of that effort, I just knew the Master was about to put His fingerprints all over her body. I mean when the power touched her, when that brace came off, when she got her healing, and the place was just ecstatic with joy and celebration. I knew that God was honoring her journey, her effort. You know, and then sometimes all you have to do is walk into a place that's already built in. That means a drive in your car. And that means a click on the internet or on your iPhone, however you do that, or on your television. But sometimes if you can't walk into it and just soak and let the music hit you, let someone pipe in faith, let the anointing just bounce off of you from the atmosphere that you're in. If you choose not to do that, if you don't go to that effort and just walk into it, then the only other way that I can see scripturally is that you have to take time to stir up that presence that's already in you or around you. You know, 2 Timothy 1:6 says, stir up the Holy Spirit. Stir up the gift. That means sometimes you have to create your own presence. Jesus never had a music team. He never had a choir. The only presence that he carried is what he stirred up by the words of his mouth, by talking about heaven, the Father, the will of God, the power, the faithfulness, the plan. He continued with his own mouth to create his own atmosphere. And it was good enough for people to step in, get healed of every known disease at the time. I'm saying to you quickly that what is needed to help repair fractured faith, shattered faith, oftentimes isn't the raw truth of the moment. Well, here's what you should have did. Well, here's what you're doing wrong. Sometimes the loss, the setback is so devastating that there needs to be time for a reassuring, for encouraging. And there's nothing that can do that, nothing or nobody like the Holy Spirit. He will use people. He will use the written word of God. He'll use past experiences. But the main thing he wants to use is you. He's wanting you to yield to be in the presence. Ironically, it's the thing that people run away from. Ironically, it's the thing that people are afraid of. Ironically, the very place that help can be offered to you because of the fear or the shame or the guilt or the whatever, or because people don't want to take the time to stir up God through singing, through meditation, through repeating the very verses that create faith. It's no wonder the devil works overtime to keep you from the written word of God. It's no wonder the devil works overtime at creating mixture of music on the inside of you. He doesn't want you to know the difference between songs that keep the pain alive and songs that makes the pains go away. There's songs that remind you of your past bad life. There's songs that remind you of your current good life. No wonder he works overtime to convolute singing, reading. No wonder he tries to keep you out of the Word of God and into the newspaper or onto the internet, surfing the web, reading just about everything but the one thing that creates faith. Faith don't come by the newspaper. It don't come by Better Homes and Garden, Sports Illustrated, ESPN, CNN, or Fox, MSNBC. Faith comes by hearing God's word, absorbing it in song form, in written form, you know, in an audio broadcast form, visual video form. Whatever form it is, these words, they're black, there are red letters. They're written by holy men of old. The Bible's not a book, but a collection of 66 books, all testifying to the faithfulness of the God of heaven, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, and the God of, yes, you. This fractured faith, I mean, this is so important, because after Peter did come into presence, he swam and he swam, and when he got up into the face of Jesus, soaking wet from head to toe, the first time he saw him since before the denial. And the first thing that Jesus said to him after being assured somehow visually, facially, with his eyes, with his presence, assuring Peter, I restore, I salvage, I repair, I don't amputate, I don't cut off, I'm here for you. After Peter captured the reassurance that he needed, sensed the security of the love of God, got that oil and that wine poured into him to some degree, then Jesus released those famous words, "Do you love me? Do you agape me?" Well, Peter responded, "Lord, you know I phileo you." The second time Jesus said, "Peter, do you agape me?" And Peter responded, "Lord, yes, I phileo you." And the third time Jesus said, "Peter, do you agape me?" And Jesus said, "Lord, why do you ask that? Please, you know I phileo you." What was taking place is that Jesus was asking Peter if he had the God kind of love, agape, where it expects nothing in return. It's all giving. And Peter answered him, "Lord, I love you with brotherly love." See, this issue was Peter was on a lower level of the love of God, operated by feeling, operated by emotion. God was trying to elevate Peter to a higher level of selfless, sacrificial love, operated with faith, that subdues kingdoms, shakes dark powers, vibrates cancer cells and loosens them from your body, and disease and oppression. He was trying to get Peter into this transition from shallow love to deep love, from ankle deep into over his head. And Peter just continued to reveal, "This is where I am at the moment. You agape me, Lord, but I phileo you." So Jesus was getting the short end of that love relationship. It didn't stop Jesus. Jesus still reassured him in that moment that his presence, Peter wasn't ready for his word. Peter's response proved that. So here's a case where shattered faith can be so devastating. I mean, the enemy wants to use no manifestation, an outcome you weren't ready for. Something didn't turn out the way you thought. Something that is just like, I thought it was in the bag. I thought this was a done deal. I prayed. Somebody confirmed it. So-and-so said, "Yeah, that's so." You know, every sign around you, physical sign, told you your expected outcome was going to take place. And yet somehow, we don't always know the why not. We don't always understand what could have hindered or broken it down. We don't always know that. Often that is revealed at a later time. Our job at the moment is not to quit, is not to think that our faith will always fail or that we can't have our desired result. Our job is to say, "Wow, I did everything I could in my power." Paul said in Ephesians, when you've done all, make a stand. That's our job. Our job is to take everything we know to be true, every experience we know that we have experienced. But then we trust the Master. We trust that He has this at a way higher level than we do. He loves everybody that we love more than we do. He wants them well more than we do. He wants them prosperous more than we do. He wrote the book on it. But our job is to not always understand at the moment. Very difficult when your feelings, you know, chime in. Your emotions chime in. The devil chimes in. And so many people right away, they just quit. Like I said earlier, they want to say, "Well, don't work. You know, tongues don't work. I tried it. Tithing don't work. I tried it. Healing prayers don't work. Tried that too." There's so many, many today in our big cities, in our small towns, in our country churches, in our mega churches, sitting quietly. And they still go to church, they still love God, but they've quit exercising their faith. A great story to illustrate this, John 5, the pool at Bethesda. Many folk sit around there. And one man who was paralyzed for 38 years initially had all of the vigor, all of the energy, all of the expectation to push and to get in there every time he heard these words, "The water is moving. The water is moving." And when he could no longer get in, when somebody seemed to always get in his way, he yielded to discouragement. He quit trying to get in, but he didn't remove himself from the crowd. So he found himself a good water hole, a great church, but he quit trying to get in. He found himself in the choir. He found himself working in the parking lot, serving in the mail room, maybe even eldering. But he quit pressing in for the healing, for the hundredfold return, for the anointing, for the favor that falls on each that can believe that God is no respecter of people. So many have just climbed into a cave, wrapped their face in a mantle, and said, "I'm waiting for the rapture. At least I'm around Christians. At least I'm not as bad as I used to be." Listen to me, precious one. That's not what God has for you. We all experience results we didn't want, and things often turn out different than we planned. But that's whenever His grace can hit you at a high level. That's whenever you can press beyond your feeling, beyond your emotion. And that's whenever you can begin to believe that your God is God, that He's the Lord of the valley as well He is Lord of the mountains. It's very, very important that your believing God doesn't get affected by your result. If something doesn't go the way you planned, you thought, then there must be a reason. As I said earlier, there must be something that's taking place that is causing this to go another way. Oh my, so many things. I can think of so many things. I could give you a list in my lifetime of so many things that I thought was going to go another way. Wanted them to, prayed for them to, believed for them to, only to find out that they went away I thought not. And that's whenever I had to reach and say, "Oh God, touch me again." That's whenever I had to stir up presence. That's whenever I had to get into a place and just sit and soak so that I didn't lose all of what He had put into me until I came into a time of strength where He could communicate thus and so, and where I began to be anchored to Deuteronomy 29:29, that says, "The things that are revealed belong to man, but the secret things belong to God." Meaning that everything that's revealed in the Scripture, we fight for, we press for, we do everything for. But sometimes it doesn't turn out that way, and we're not always sure why, but we trust that the secret things belong to Him, because we have forever with Him to spend. We're not limited to 70, 80, even 120 years. We're not limited here. We have eternal life on the inside of each. Don't judge your life by the lifespan here. Look at things through the eyes of forever. He said, "I'm with you forever." He said, "I put an everlasting love on you." God's preparing forever for you. Oh, I know we're still human. We still live in this earthen vessel. We still hurt and feel and have pain, suffer loss and setback. I know it. Believe me, I know it. But it's important that as you live out your days, that you do your best, trust God with the rest, and more than that, make sure that your faith in the next battle, in the next blessing you're reaching for, the next person that looks to you for help, that you exude, that you illustrate, that coming from you is a stream of assurance, a river of radical belief that God will, in His way, answer, that God in His own time will perform, that God in His own big picture will create that atmosphere for signs and wonders and the miracles we so read about and we so often connect to Him. Peter found out firsthand what it was like to have shattered faith restored. Because if you follow the story of Peter, not only did he get his faith back to where it was, but he became unrecognizable to the man who had shattered faith. He was so strong, even after Jesus left the earth, went back to heaven, as Peter continued on in the message of Jesus, in the path of the prophet. As he continued on, he exuded healing and miracles. And even at the time of his death, they were going to crucify Peter. And he said, no, do not crucify me regularly. I want to be crucified upside down. For my master was crucified right side up. I want to suffer more than even he did physically. Crucify me, therefore, upside down. The man who ran from it was now a man who was embracing it. Something happened. Something took place. Peter's faith was radically restored, and so can your faith be restored. I know as I'm sharing this teaching that many of you have had things go the other way, and you didn't have the desired result that you wanted. Please don't give in to every rhyme and reason that comes to your head. Lean strong on the love of God. Lean strong on the fact that His grace is sufficient. Lean strong in the belief that there's a purpose you know not of, and that that took place is beyond your realm of knowledge for a specific reason. Lay it on the altar. Lay it down. When something can't work, you lay it down on that altar. Let the fire of God consume that. And I promise you that you will begin to once again, you'll begin to breathe the breath of God. Once again, you'll be able to reach for the hem of His garment. Once again, you'll race to get into the shadow of great people. Once again, faith will percolate up on the inside of you. Because now you know that your God is God. That you can't do everything apart from Him. That everything that is powerful and wonderful is directly connected to the true vine. For the branch without the vine can do nothing. And that true vine is not a church, is not a person, is not an experience. That true vine is only one person, the living Lord Jesus Christ. He is the healer. He is the repairer, working through the Holy Spirit to repair your faith. For you to once again stand strong, saying, I trust the Master with every outcome, with every result. I will continue to preach and pray and prophesy. I will continue to embrace all the touch. I will yield to the slaying power. I will let the Holy Spirit move through me. But I will trust only in Him will I trust. For He is my rock and my salvation. In whom shall I be afraid? O Lord, touch me yet again with fresh fire. Anoint me yet again with fresh oil, that I may once again be in the position for you to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. May we all please Him this day as we recover each from this faith that has been shattered. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.
For more information about this and any of Billy Burke's other teachings, please call 813-287-2116, or you can call us toll-free at 888-7 and the word HEALED. The mailing address is Billy Burke World Outreach, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. You can also visit us on the web at billyburke.org.